Hi, welcome to the Bucko Fever Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. Thanks for tuning in. Trade deadline. Come and gone. A little lackluster for the Pirates this year. When you compare it to what kind of normally happens for the Pirates, especially looking at like last year and everything, way different. And that's kind of okay. And I'll talk about why that's okay and what that means. And I think most fans know why it's okay. But take a look at the trades they made and let you know what I think. And look at, some stuff I want to see here moving forward as we try to roll to the end of this season. And look for ways to get better and look for ways to build and, prepare for next year. So before we do that, let's have a message from Anchor. So, the trade deadline, like I said, was pretty quiet for the Pirates, all in all. A couple deals were made. I'm going to tie the Vogelbach deal into this. I think what really stands out for the Pirates are the deals that weren't made. And some of those were good. It's better off that they didn't. But we'll talk about that in a second. But let's look at what the Pirates did do. They traded off a couple guys. One rental, one guy is going to be going out. Back on the free agent market at the end of the season. And a couple other guys that they could have had back next year. But with the Dan Vogelbach trade, I think they really did a good job. I like Colin Holderman, a reliever that is major league ready. He was pitching for the Mets and having a pretty good year for them. I think that, we got to see him last night, which was cool. He did okay. I think that one of the keys for the Pirates, and I've said it before, is to build a really good bullpen. relievers, you can constantly flip relievers, when you have other guys ready or whatever, so you can continue to restock your system or fill in holes on your big league roster by trading relievers. You get Holderman in here. Vogelbach, he was fun, frustrating at times. the pitches he didn't swing at, but, when he connected, he was fun. With that trade, I give it a solid B. I think that's pretty much what Vogelbach was worth. One of the other trades they made, Monday night, Jose Quintana and Chris Stratton to the Cardinals for pitcher Johan Oviedo and first baseman Malcolm Nunez. When this trade first started to break and Quintana was the only player mentioned going to the Cardinals for those two, I thought that was a decent trade. You're trading a rental. Quintana's had a pretty good year, and you're getting back, Oviedo, who they could have slid right into their bullpen right now. They are a little they do have a little bit of a logjam, there with right now with the bullpen, which is fine. You had DeJong coming back from injury. They did just, got rid of Stratton, so they really only cleared up one spot out there. So Oviedo's going to Indy. There's a lot of talk that he could be, they could be looking at him to be stretched out. You know, in his minor league career, he was a starter. You know, with the Cardinals, just, you know, pitched out of the pen. You know, I'm okay with them trying to stretch him out, give themselves some more depth with the rotation, but I actually would prefer to just, we've already seen what he's been doing and what he's been successful at the big league level in the pen, just keep him there. And who knows how long he'll be down in Indy. You know, we'll see. I think the big piece of this trade really is Malcolm Nunez. You know, Malcolm Nunez, he was always, he's listed as a third baseman, but they moved him to first. So he's been playing a lot of first base, and I think that's where he'll go for the Pirates. Obviously, third base is occupied at the big league level. You know, I think playing him at first is great. I think, you know, he's going out to Altoona. What he brings is pop. You know, 17 home runs this year for Double A. It's hitting .255, OPS of .823. You know, strikeout numbers are, I guess, a little high, but he's only 21 years old, so he's still relatively young. I could see him getting moved up to Indy at some point. This year, you know, but I think one of the things here is they really addressed need. You know, the system is thin on first baseman. Mason Martin really hasn't developed this year and taken, you know, step forward. You know, he's taken several steps backwards. So, you know, he could get it figured out. But that's something to, you know, with the big league level, the Pirates don't have a first baseman. You know, Chavis is fine for now. But long term, you really want somebody that's a natural first baseman, bigger guy. You know, Nunez isn't that much taller than Chavis, which is one interesting thing. But hey, I mean, he's got pop. So it'd be interesting to see what he does and where he finishes the season. You know, mix him in, you know, next year with, you know, Martin and, you know, Gorski, you know, he comes back from injury. And that's a lot of pop. Their first base. Of course, he plays some outfield too, I know, but I think that, you know, with all the other guys that the Pirates have in the outfield, I think Gorski could end up at first base. And of course, Shackelford has had a great year power wise from in Altoona. So, you know, he'll be in that mix as well. All those guys can kind of move around. They're not just, except Martin, they're not just your standalone first baseman. They can shift. So when this trade first started breaking, it was just Quintana for those two. And at that point, I'm like, that's probably what Quintana, is worth this year for what he's pitching and everything. And then it was slowly announced that Stratton was also being included. Now, Chris Stratton has not had the best year. I still thought he had a little bit more value, and that trade for those two guys for Quintana, I thought that trade was fair. I thought that was a solid trade, no overpay for anybody. The Pirates weren't getting ripped off. When Stratton slid in there, all in all, it's still a fine trade. I was really hoping they would have been able to get somebody else, and get an extra player for including Stratton. But, you know, Stratton, like I said, Stratton was sadly the weak link in that bullpen. this year. He's done a lot as a Pirate. Like, he's been pretty reliable, you know, out of the pen. Like, it sucked to see him slide this year the way he did. But I get the trade. Still don't think the Pirates got ripped off or anything. It's probably fine. I still just was kind of hoping Stratton would have been able to, you know, be in a standalone trade, or would have got another player with this deal. But all in all, it's fine. I give that trade probably like a C plus, maybe. I don't know. But like, fine. Just your fair return. Got some, you know, some promise coming back. So it is what it is. And then we sat all day yesterday and constantly refreshed Twitter and MLB trade rumors and looked and waited. And then at the last minute, the Pirates make their last deal of acquiring Jeremy Beasley from the Blue Jays for cash. Beasley will go to Indy. 26-year-old reliever. You know, I like this trade. I mean, you're picking up another bullpen arm. He's had a pretty solid year. You know, overall, you know, up with the Blue Jays, he appeared in 9 games, 4.80 ERA, 1.27 WHIP, which is pretty good. 19 Ks over 15 innings, and only 5 walks. So, okay numbers. His minor league numbers have been better. You know, he's been pitching pretty well this year, and you know, for Toronto there in Buffalo. 1.89 ERA in 19 games. He did start 3 of them. I don't know exactly if those were like an opener type thing or if it was like a bullpen game. But, you know, holding opponents to a 1.53 average with a 0.82 WHIP. Struck out 43, only walked 11 in 38 innings. So this is like, this is a fine deal. You know, Blue Jays had some room they needed to clear on their roster. One, you know, for the Pirates, take a shot at this guy. He has good stuff from everything I've seen. So I like it. I mean, it's not flashy, but it's building depth, you know, and in this bullpen, they've got depth now. You know, you lost Stratton, but you brought in 3 other guys that could factor into that mix. And hey, the bullpen for the Pirates has been fantastic. I mean, you really can't ask for too much more out of those guys. During their losing streak, yeah, they gave up some runs here and there, but all in all, they've been fantastic, which then kind of now leads me to, you know, what the Pirates didn't do. And, you know, going into yesterday, I really expected the Pirates to be a little bit more active. Now, the guys that were most likely to be, you know, tradable, or not, you know, not tradable, but most likely to be traded, weren't the super flashy guys. I mean, you had Ben Gamel, Dylan Peters. I honestly thought Dwayne Underwood Jr. Could have brought them something back. Any of these guys could have brought them something back. They weren't worthless. Now, Yoshi, Van Meter, Greg Allen, those guys weren't bringing you anything back. And I'll get to them in a second. But I think that, you know, the market just must not have been there. It was a weird trade deadline. You know, there were some huge trades, but there weren't a ton of those little trades for, like, bench pieces. And, you know, there weren't, you know, a lot of teams were kind of conservative. It was just a weird deadline, I thought. You know, this year, you know, with the wild card and, you know, pretty much everybody, a lot of teams still in it. Yeah, I mean, it was, I really thought Gamble would have been dealt. I thought they would have been able to find a taker for him. And I think what really hurt him was the missing all that time and then coming back and not struggling a little bit. But, you know, the market just didn't seem to really be there, I guess, for those guys. Or, you know, maybe they're just were totally fine with sitting on Dylan Peters and those guys. I think the big thing, the big takeaway from the deadline is that the Pirates didn't trade the big guys. You know, there weren't really any Reynolds rumors floating around. You know, earlier in the week, everybody, you know, it said that, you know, Reynolds wasn't getting dealt. You know, the asking price was insane. And honestly, rightfully so. I mean, with Reynolds, it's tough this year because, you know, he struggled so much for a while. And now, then was fine. And then was hurt. And then, you know, hasn't really bounced back from that yet. But, you know, I'm, you know, sit on it. And I really hope that it leads to an extension. And I think that's where the Pirates have to go this offseason. And, of course, Bednar, you know, after the Twins acquired Lopez from the Orioles, I thought, okay, here come the closers. But, you know, the rumors weren't there yesterday. Like, normally it's just, you know, rampant speculation and, you know, hearing that so-and-so is in on this guy, but it just wasn't there. It was kind of a boring day. It was a cool day, you know, when the big blockbusters, which are always kind of fun, except, you know, the fact that it's just the same five teams that are constantly involved in those. You know, it really was just kind of blah. And I think that's okay. You know, I think the big thing, you know, aside from those guys not getting traded, are the guys that are still sitting on the roster. You know, you weren't able to move Gamble, which, you know, fine. But they also have not designated anybody for assignment. So you still have Josh Van Meter. You still have Yoshi Susugo. You still have Greg Allen taking playing time away from the prospects. You know, and that's – do I expect the prospects to come up and this team all of a sudden get a million times better? No. But I think they will get better. I think that's the team would be better. Van Meter brings of the group, I think Van Meter is the best. Greg Allen, other than his speed, really hasn't brought anything. Now, a small sample size for him. And I would have been okay with him sticking around and giving him, you know, a little bit of a longer look because he missed so much of the season had they have traded Gamble. So now what do you do? Your outfield is Gamble, Reynolds, Cal Mitchell with Bly Madris mixed in there and Greg Allen mixed in there. Who's realistically, who is going to be part of this team's future? And, you know, I think, you know, with Gamble being a free agent, you can almost rule him out, you know, unless the Pirates want to re-sign him, which I'm totally fine with to an extent. And I'll get to that in a second. But Greg Allen just doesn't fit. And now you, then you have, you know, Sussugo and, like I said, Van Meter. Just how are you going to get them at bats, especially Sussugo? He's been just terrible. I would assume by the weekend, one, if not all of those guys are gone. There's guys in Indy who deserve to play more than those guys. And and that's one of the reasons why I really was hoping, you know, they would have been able to find it, get something for Gamble, find that taker. But they're just taking playing time away from guys. I mean, you have, you sent down Castillo. You have Marcano down there. You have Rodolfo Castro down there. Jiwon Bae down there. Sawinski and Swaggerty down there. I want to see those guys back up in Pittsburgh. You know, I would actually be okay keeping Castillo down there a little bit to get him some at-bats, but bring Marcano back. I think one of the things that's interesting, another guy who I haven't even talked about yet that didn't get traded, and I'm really was okay with it, unless they got, you know, just a really good deal, was Kevin Newman. I've been a pretty big supporter of Newman. I guess supporter is the right word. 2019, we saw Newman just do nothing but hit. 2020, kind of scrapped that year for everybody, really. And then last year, not real great results. But, you know, this year, he was hitting okay before he got hurt. Since he's been back, he's been hitting really well. I still think there is the 2019 version of Kevin Newman, at least a piece of it, is still in there. Is he a 300 hitter? I don't know, maybe. But I really think that he is better than what we've seen. And I think given opportunity and staying healthy, I think he could regain, you know, at least some of that form to where he's better than what we've seen the last couple seasons. The problem is, where does he fit in the future? Because there's other guys here that the Pirates really need to know where they fit as well. Like the guys I mentioned, like Marcano and Castro and Bae. So Newman's taken playing time, you know, from them. So like you're stuck. I mean, the Pirates are stuck now. I mean, you know, you just got to cut your losses with Sussugo. I didn't hate the signing when they did it. I'm glad he didn't want a multi-year deal. But it's time. it's time to let him go. Bring one of these other guys up. First person I would go to is Marcano, because he could play pretty much everywhere. And then, you know, after that, like you get rid of Greg Allen. The problem is, if you cut Greg Allen and bring up Swaggerty or Sawinski, you still have to find the playing time for him. And Gamble's taking that away. And I always feel bad for those veterans that that don't get traded and on like that they're on a rebuilding team. And I never can really like I guess pin down or you know estimate you know how much you owe them. You know, because you don't want to totally just sit them. You don't want him just sitting there on the bench and not playing because he's going to be a free agent. You know, you want to be able to get him at bats, but at the same time, you need to get these other guys at bats too. So that's like where I kind of struggle with Gamble. Like, I like Gamble. I think he belongs in Pittsburgh. But we need to know where these other guys stand, more so than what we already know who Ben Gamble is. He's scrappy. He's going to hit, not going to be an all-star, but be a solid major league ball player. But we need to know if Sawinski can do that. Cal Mitchell, Swaggerty. We need to know where they are. And we will only get that through at bats. But, I mean, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how all this comes out. I would imagine this weekend we see some changes. Possibly even today, to be honest. Like you can't really cut those guys until after the deadline yesterday, so you know why bother? But I wouldn't be shocked if Sasugo is gone. First, I think he's got to be the first one to go. He serves no purpose. You know, just DH. Just get guys at bats through the DH. Just have a rotating DH. Put Madrese at first. Platoon him and Chavis. I think Van Meter would be your second one cut because you know you have all these other potentially better versions of Van Meter. But yeah. And as far as pitching goes, I did want to talk about that. I mean, starting pitching is pretty deep at the moment. It's been pitching they've been playing pretty well. You're going to get Contreras back. Burrows needs to continue to develop. You know, in AAA, I don't think we'll see him this year. He's struggling a little bit. Urías still there. I think we'll see him again this year at some point. But, you know, he's going to be more of a reliever. Bolton's building himself back up. I don't know if we see him this year. I would have thought we would have, but I don't know that we do. Unless there's, you know, injury or something. But again, I want to circle back to the bullpen. You know, they've got some decent arms here. You know, and they're just building that depth. So I think Ben Cherington said something interesting yesterday. He talked about the deadline, but one of the things he said was, you know, that they really looked at prep for the offseason and options and moves that might be available to them then. So those bullpen arms, maybe Underwood goes if he finishes the year strong. Maybe a Will Crow goes. I would rather them hold on to Will Crow, but maybe he goes. You know, guys like Chase DeYoung, if he finishes the year strong, maybe he gets, because they have, you know, other guys and not just the ones that they just traded for, and, you know, Beasley and Oviedo and Holderman. But you got Cam Aldrich, lefty. You know, he's still sitting in AAA. You got Nick Mears on his rehab assignment. You know, Blake Cederlund never can recover. You got him. You got Johan Ramirez, Eric Stout, Cam Vo, sitting there. And then, like, some of those starters I mentioned. You know, Hunter Stratton hasn't had a great year. I would have expected him to be – I expected him to be in the bullpen mix for the Pirates this year, but he just has not been good. But, you know, they have other guys. No Toribio. He's pitched pretty well. And I think, you know, that he's going to be in that mix. You know, they need to clear 40-man spots because they have a huge – they have another roster crunch coming up. A lot of guys need protected. They had a lot of guys last year that were not. And then they got lucky that the Rule 5 didn't happen. So, I mean, they're going to have to clear a spot for Mears to come back. Just that, you know, that alone. Cody Bolton's going to have to find a spot. Or they'll lose him, I think, in the Rule 5 if they don't this year with what he's been able to do. I think that, you know, Tanaj Thomas has stepped up this year for Altoona. I really want to see him get a promotion. And that's really what I'm looking at here the rest of the way, is the movement within the system. There are guys who are ready to move. You know, there's guys who are ready to come up to AAA. I think Pagero should be in AAA. You know, I think that, you know, throughout the system, I think that, you know, there's guys, Andy Rodriguez, Dario Lopez. I think those guys should move up to Altoona. You know, Priester probably should get a look in Indy, you know, before the year's out. So it's going to be interesting to see where that movement goes. You know, there's guys in AAA like Jared Eichhoff and Eric Hanel that are just taking up spots from, you know, keeping those guys down. And, you know, I think that there's going to be some movement. It'd be fun to see them, those guys shift around. But like I said, they've got to clear roster spots. Who knows how they're going to do that. So we'll see. But yeah, all in all, I think the big takeaway from the trade deadline really kind of lies in the moves that weren't made. You know, whether they just stood their ground on Reynolds and Bednar, maybe even Newman. Who knows if there were offers for Newman. But then, you know, set, you know, and are okay with sitting on Gamble. Who knows if there were even offers for Gamble. I mean, it's... but yeah, the trades that they made, I'd say all in all, I give their whole deadline a solid... The trades that they made, I would say a solid C+. You know, just average. Like, they got what they could out of, you know, Vogelbach, Stratton, and Quintana, and their pieces that could be useful. Be fun. I'm trying to go to Altoona here in a couple weeks, a couple weekends. Hopefully I get to see, you know, those guys. But, yeah, Malcolm Nunez and all those guys. So we'll see. So that's episode for today. I just wanted to, you know, talk about the trade deadline and, you know, Ben Cherington. I think has done a lot of really good things for this organization. I think the depth that they've been able to build, I think is outstanding. I think that this upcoming year, this upcoming offseason, is really going to be the definitive moment. They've got all these prospects. You need a better big league club. Are they going to start to, is Nutting going to say, let's go ahead and sign somebody? Are they going to extend what they have? Are they going to trade from that depth to bring in controllable pieces? We'll see. I'd love to see them bring in like a Trey Mancini or somebody like that. But we'll see what happens. And, Ben Cherington kind of alluded to the fact that, they're really looking at the offseason already and have some ideas. So we'll see how that pans out. But for now, last night was a fun game. It was good to see them break that losing streak. Hopefully they can, get on a nice little roll. Hopefully we get to see some of these younger guys get some playing time over, the placeholders. Because there's no need. There's no need for the placeholders anymore. Check me out on social media at Bucko Fever Pod on Twitter, Bucko Fever Podcast on Facebook, and of course, BuckoFeverPodcast.com. But again, I appreciate everybody listening, and have a good one.